Love Josh Grinder. Good morning, Range fans. Cable Smith here with you on this frigid North Texas morning. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show. This is our first ever show on 95.3 The Range. We'll do it every Saturday morning right here from 8:30 until 9:30. If it has to do with hunting, fishing, or the great outdoors, we're going to talk about it right here in great detail. That means hunters' rights, guns, gun dogs, fishing, conservationism, and so much more. I'm an avid hunter and angler, but let me tell you up front that I don't claim to be an expert by any means on either subject. That's why each week the Lone Star Outdoor Show will feature a full lineup of famous outdoorsmen, anglers, conservationists, game wardens, and even some of your favorite range artists will be guests on the show as well, such as Chris Knight and Jason Boland, who find a lot of their inspiration for their music by spending time in the great outdoors. We'll even talk to politicians such as Stephenville's own State Representative Sid Miller. Representative Miller is the man responsible for drafting last year's legislation that was passed in the Texas House, allowing Texas landowners to sell helicopter hog hunts on their property in an attempt to recoup some of the millions of dollars in damages that feral hogs cause across the state each year. So we'll talk hunting hogs with helicopters, hunting hogs with dogs, and also using cool toys such as thermal imaging and night vision scopes. We all know you can't eradicate those nasty things, but we'll do our dangdest to help you try and at least thin out your population. Today's presentation features a great lineup. We'll start things off with Kaufman's own Texas Parks and Wildlife game warden, Eric Minter, who earlier this fall arrowed a 31-point Kaufman County monster. So we'll get all the details of that hunt. We'll also talk to Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney. He'll discuss the 2009-2010 waterfowl season, as well as what central flyway waterfowlers can expect moving forward. Will we go back to a hunter's choice style framework, or will we continue to enjoy the current system, the much more liberal framework of this season? So we'll get into all of that. And then we'll also visit with the Dallas Safari Club's president, Ben Carter. Their big convention, First Light, is going on this weekend at the Dallas Convention Center. I'm going to head on over there after the show. There's over 1,100 exhibitors from all over the globe right here in the North Texas area this weekend. Oh, and don't forget that this weekend is also the annual Texas Fishing, Hunting, and Outdoors Show, and that's going on at the Arlington Convention Center. So the plan is for the Cowboys to knock off the Eagles tonight, have a little celebration, wake up and shoot a few ducks in the morning, and then head over to the Arlington Convention Center for the annual Texas Fishing, Hunting, and Outdoors Show. And real quick, before we visit with Game Warden Eric Minter, I want to tell you about my website, which is www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com, and I want to tell you about it for a couple reasons. First of all, if you miss a show or have a hunting buddy that you think might enjoy a specific segment that you heard, well, it will be available the following Monday morning in podcast form right there on my homepage. There's also a detailed Texas Country Music Concert calendar right there on the right side of the homepage where you can find out when your favorite range artists are coming to town, so you don't want to miss out on that. And lastly, on the left side over there, there is a photo of the month, and that is where I am actively seeking your participation. I want you to send me your best outdoor photos from the season. Each monthly winner will have their photo displayed right there on the website. And at the end of the year, listeners will get to vote on their favorite photo of the month. And the grand prize is a trophy boar or whitetail hunt that has been donated to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. So go ahead and send your best outdoor photo to cablewaco@yahoo.com. We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk to the man who this past bow season harvested Texas's fourth highest scoring non-typical whitetail ever. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Are you interested in the wild boar hunt of a lifetime? Then contact Tactical Hog Control. Tactical Hog Control uses cutting-edge technology and the coolest toys to increase your hog-killing efficiency. Each hunter is fitted with night vision goggles and suppressed semi-automatic AR-10 rifles equipped with night vision and thermal scopes, just like the videos you've seen on YouTube. Conveniently located halfway between Dallas and Houston in Madisonville, call 936-581-2256 or visit us at www.tacticalhogcontrol.com. We don't fear the night. We own it.
Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. Join me this January 7 to 10 at First Light, Dallas Safari Cubs Convention and Sporting Expo. First Light will be our biggest show ever. The convention center will host over 1,000 exhibitors. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org. I look forward to seeing you at First Light.
Brought to you by Midway USA, Tourigicon, Cabela's, Capital Farm Credit, Euro Optics, The Wildlife Gallery, Tanzania Adventures, and Hornaughty.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friends and fellow outdoorsmen at No Fences Land Company. No Fences Land Company is a recreational real estate firm that focuses on listing and selling fine ranch properties for hunting and fishing. Their affiliation with Cabela's Trophy Properties gives them a marketing advantage to offer today's buyers and sellers the finest ranch real estate services available. If you have a property you're looking to buy or sell, please contact No Fences Land Company at 800-866-LAND or visit them on the web at nofencesland.com.
Revolution Logistics is a Dallas-based full-service transportation company. Whether you need trucking services or warehouse services, Revolution Logistics is the answer. We offer full truckload as well as LTL and door-to-door service throughout North America. Dry van, intermodal, flatbed, and heavy haul. Revolution has it all. We also have warehousing services including storage, transloading, consolidation, and deconsolidation. Visit us at www.revolutionlogistics.com or give Todd a call at 214-340-7100.
That's www.revolutionlogistics.com.
Welcome back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. I'm Cable Smith, your host. We'll do it every Saturday morning from 8:30 until 9:30. We're talking hunting and fishing and everything in between, which is why I am honored to bring on our next guest, Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Warden, Eric Minter.
Thanks for coming on the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and how excited I am to find out about a particular hunt of yours that occurred this past October. But first, let's just take a moment to get to know you a little bit better. First off, how long have you been with Texas Parks and Wildlife?
See, I started with Texas Parks and Wildlife back in May of 1997, and I worked it for 5 years in Dallas County and then transferred to Kaufman County, and I've been here in Kaufman County ever since.
What aspect of your job do you like the best?
Always liked being outdoors. I love hunting and fishing and just being outside. When I went to work, they gave me a truck and a boat, four-wheeler. there's just not too many things that I can say bad about using that kind of equipment and getting paid for it. I enjoy just about all of it.
No, I've seen the trucks up close and personal, and those are some pretty nice toys. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. And a boat and a four-wheeler, too. Can't complain about that. Texas Parks and Wildlife, take care of you guys. And your job is an awesome job, but everybody has something about their job that they don't like. What's your least favorite part about your job?
Well, the least favorite part, without a doubt, is going out and having to work boat accidents and drownings and missing persons. That's a part of the job that's difficult to do when those things happen. Well, the families are going through a tough time, and somebody's got to help them, and it's part of our job.
Describe the most intense moment that you've ever had while on the job.
Well,
I don't know if you walked up on a poacher or something and they drew a firearm on you, but
I can tell you the most intense moment came at a time when I thought I was checking somebody that was going to be committing a hunting violation, and it turned out that it was actually something drug-related that they were involved in, and I was in an isolated area in Kaufman County, and saw a vehicle parked on the wrong side of the road, and it was between 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. There was one guy that was dressed in all camo. What I believed was going on was these guys had dropped off this one man, and he had gone hunting, and I thought they were coming back and picking him up, and he was loading whatever he had killed up in the truck, and it turned out that it was actually a little methamphetamine party.
Wow.
And the two guys had pistols on them, and the second guy that had the gun was trying to get the gun off of him, off of his body. I thought he had a rifle stashed away, and it turned out he had a pistol, and he was a convicted felon, so he was trying to get that pistol off of him and took off on foot and ran off into the woods. And again, I thought he had a rifle in the woods, and it got kind of hairy for a little bit, and I got on the radio and got somebody out there, and we figured out who he was and didn't get him that night, but we ended up, I think a couple of months later, he was picked up at his house.
Yeah, I can imagine it'd be pretty unnerving to have a suspect not knowing whether they have a rifle or not bearing down on you in the woods. So,
right.
Let's go ahead and talk about the main reason why I wanted to have you on the show, and that is you shot a monster deer during bow season this year, and that was in Kaufman County. I read two different things. One said a 31 point. The other one said 27 points. Which one is it?
After the dust settled and I took it to get it scored, it actually turned out that it was 31 scoreable points. Now, counting 31 points, you can't remember which ones you've counted and which ones you haven't. And we ended up with 27 until the first official score, which came out to be 31.
Mm. Tell me about the preparation for that hunt. It's a low fence lease in Kaufman County. How many acres is that lease?
It's just over 400 acres.
Now, you've been bow hunting for about 6 years. Never harvested a buck before.
Yes, that is correct.
So you've shot some does, and I know there's tons of hogs out there in Kaufman County, so you've probably shot a couple of those too.
Right.
Describe the conditions that morning. Was there, would you say, a lot of deer activity?
There was more deer activity than I had seen all year. Within the last few years, that's the most that I've seen. It was pretty cool that morning. It was probably in the low 30s. It was clear. There wasn't much wind. And I was hunting in the woods. Most of the trees still had their leaves, and so it was pretty dark underneath the canopy of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably about 5 minutes late. It was actually just starting to get light when I got to the stand, and within about 10 to 15 minutes, I saw two does probably at about 50 yards away from me. They didn't come any closer. They were just kind of moving through the woods. And then I saw a little buck, and he came to about within 25 yards of me. And that was in the first 15, 20 minutes of me being in the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had several does come in right up under my stand and just kind of hang out right there. And from that point on, it was just nonstop. I had deer coming from all directions. And, I had lots of squirrels running through the trees, and the squirrels were knocking the acorns off the trees, and the deer were sitting down below and eating everything they'd knock off the trees. It was pretty exciting. After about an hour, this deer, I could see him probably about 60 to 70 yards standing on the outside of the trees that I was hunting in. But I couldn't make him out at that point. I could just see that there was a deer moving back and forth across the trail. And when he came in the woods, he just kind of charged in real hard and just excited. He came in, and he only came about 10 yards inside the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And just from looking at him, you know, 60, 70 yards away, I could tell that his body was a lot larger than all the deer I'd been looking at. And his hide was a darker color, and you could just tell that he was a completely different deer. And I still didn't know how good he was, but the light was not bright enough to where I could make out his rack. I could see that it was a buck, and that I could see the brow tines and the main beams coming about 3 to 4 inches outside the brow tines, but I couldn't see all the points on the end.
Mm. But either way, at this point, your heart starts pounding a little bit.
Oh yeah, faster. And I hadn't made him out, but I'll tell you, the most exciting thing, I've never heard this. I've never had this happen. But when he came in the woods, he just stopped, and I could see him. He kept looking to his right and to his left, and he's facing directly at my stand. This trail comes straight to my stand, and he keeps looking to his right and his left, and he turns to his left, and he just takes off running. And he let out two grunts, and I've never, ever heard a deer do this before. But I keep trying to describe it to people, and I have a couple of duck calls laying around, and my kids like to blow on the duck calls.
Uh-huh.
And they just blow as hard as they can, and it just makes this loud sound. And when I heard that, the first thing I thought about was it sounded like one of my kids blowing on a deer grunt.
Huh.
It was just the loudest grunt I had ever heard. And all the squirrels and the birds that were up in the trees, it spooked them. And they took off running, and all the deer that were standing up under my stand disappeared off into the brush, except for that one little spike that was sitting right there at the base of my tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I at that point, I decided that, well, he had to be the boss. The way he came charging in there, and the way he grunted and looked like he was just ready to whoop anybody.
Eric, I hate to cut you off right when the story is getting so intense, but we've got to take a quick break. We're visiting with Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Warden Eric Minter. He's telling us about the 31-point Kaufman monster that he took down this bow season. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show, only on KHYI 95.3, The Range.
Dyer Real Estate is a full-service commercial real estate management firm specializing in everything from neighborhood and strip centers to major power centers. Dyer Real Estate has experience managing every aspect of a property, including rent collection, maintenance, landlord-tenant relations, and financial reporting. Visit us at www.dreproperties.com. Dyer Real Estate services DFW to Austin and everything in between. That's www.dreproperties.com.
Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friend Matt at Birdworks Taxidermy. Birdworks is a small birds-only taxidermy studio that specializes in custom avian artistry. Matt's passion is taking his clients' birds and turning them into trophy works of art. Specializing in waterfowl, turkey, cranes, and upland game, Birdworks is conveniently located in Fort Worth and has been serving DFW for over a decade. Visit Birdworks at www.birdworkstaxidermy.com or give Matt a call at 817-691-2625.
Listen up, Texas waterfowlers. There's only 3 weeks left this season, and we all know that chasing the ducks around North Texas can be challenging. So why not let Drake's Guide Service put in the work for you? With a beautiful rustic lodge conveniently located 18 miles north of Decatur in Sunset, Texas, Drake's Guide Service has land for ducks, dove, turkey, hogs, whitetails, and other game. Call Corey at 682-552-0001 to book your custom hunt, or visit Drake's Guide Service at www.northtexasduckhunting.com and let them put you on the birds.
Revolution Logistics is a Dallas-based full-service transportation company. Whether you need trucking services or warehouse services, Revolution Logistics is the answer. We offer full truckload as well as LTL and door-to-door service throughout North America. Dry van, intermodal, flatbed, and heavy haul. Revolution has it all. We also have warehousing services including storage, transloading, consolidation, and deconsolidation. Visit us at www.revolutionlogistics.com or give Todd a call at 214-340-7100.
That's www.revolutionlogistics.com.
The Purple Goo Tire Sealant is your solution to prevent flat tires on your trailers, ATVs, golf carts, tractors, and lawn equipment. The Purple Goo uses innovative technology to locate and plug holes as they occur. Purple Goo not only outperforms all other off-road tire sealants, it also helps prevent rims from rusting and lasts for the life of the tire. Visit us at www.thepurplegoo.com and roll on with the Purple Goo Tire Sealant. No more flats.
Smith, welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. I don't want to waste any time because right now we're in the middle of recapping one of the greatest whitetail hunts in the Lone Star State's storied history. Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Warden Eric Minter is still on the line. Just a reset here. You're in your tree stand on your Kaufman County lease and you've realized that a monster deer is feeding on the forest floor just beneath you. Eric, please pick up right where we left off before the break.
I stood up and it took my eyes off of him and looked down and tried to find that little spike. And the spike had kind of backed off about 10 yards or so. And I stood up, grabbed my bow, and I already had an arrow knocked, and I hooked up my release. And I kept watching the trail where he, you know, ran off into the woods. And for about 10 or 15 minutes, I didn't see anything. There was nothing, no movement, no sound, nothing. And I just kept looking back at that last spot where I'd seen him run off the trail. And just about the point that I started to tell myself, you know, nobody's ever going to believe this. I've seen this big deer. He's grunted like this. I know he's the boss. I know he's a good deer. Nobody's ever going to believe this the rest of this season. I'm going to be coming out here morning and evening trying to hunt this guy.
Uh-huh.
Just about the time I had to give up, I was looking about 60 to 70 yards away, and I saw movement a little closer in, and I looked down, and I could see a deer, and it was moving real slow and quiet, and I could see him stepping out onto the trail at about 30 yards to where I was in line to take a shot, and he stepped out, and when he did, I could see the antlers. And I had just enough light to where I could see these two drop tines. It looked like they were about 18 inches apart.
Huh. Wow.
Then my heart started pounding, and I refused to look back at the antlers. At that point, I could tell by his body that was the deer that I had seen. And I checked back. I looked back at the spike down underneath my stand, and he was looking at the buck also.
He's probably his heart was probably beating as fast as yours.
You know, he didn't run off.
Yeah.
But he stood there and he was alert, but I could tell he wasn't worried about me.
Right.
So I went ahead and drew back.
And this is a Matthews bow, correct?
Yeah.
Which you can get at Outdoor Pro Shops, by the way, one of our fine sponsors.
And as he stood there, he was facing me. I went ahead and drew back, and he was looking for those does that were, you know, down underneath me when I came into the woods. I just waited a few seconds, and as he looked behind me, he put his head down, and he started eating acorns, and again, he's facing me, but he brought his left foot forward, and when he did that, he turned his whole head, and it opened up that kill zone, and I put my 30-yard pin on him and let it go. And, you know, there's a bunch of thoughts that were going through my mind. I'd marked off 20, 30, and 40 yards and little flags on them so I'd know the distances. And, of course, he didn't come out where I thought he would, so I'm trying to make sure it's 30 yards. And as I'm looking at him, I could have sworn, man, that's farther than 30 yards. And I kept looking back at my marker and then looking at the deer and looking at my marker. And, you know, I just put it in my head, look, it's 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Take the shot. And I went ahead and let it go. And it hit the mark. He didn't even take a step. He just folded and dropped to the ground right there and rolled over on his back. You know, that part of it just seemed real.
Wow.
I sat there looking at him, and I hung my bow up, and I thought, man, that went better than I planned. You know? I sat down. You know, that's the time when accidents happen, and that even went through my head. Don't get silly and fall out of your stand. So I sat down. I had a safety harness on, but that thought crossed my mind. So I sat down, hung my bow up. I just sat there thinking about it, trying to soak it all up. All of a sudden, his head rolled up, and he started rocking, trying to get back up on his feet. And I took another shot, put another arrow in him, and hit him in his chest. And it was just at the same time he was kind of rocking up on his feet when he rolled over on his back. And when I took the second shot, it hit him in the chest and came out on his back and just kind of pinned him. You know, the arrow stuck in the dirt, so it pinned him down. And so he laid there, and he continued kicking for about 15, 20 seconds. And he stopped, and once he stopped, well, I knew I had him, and I sat down and tried to calm down. And, you know, of course, I'm still sitting there trying to look at, make out how good he is, and it's still just not enough light for me to see. A buddy of mine, I called him, and I was just kind of whispering on the phone to him, hey, I got a huge buck. And, you know, of course, he wants to know the details. How big is it? I'm telling him, I don't know. He's huge. Hurry up and get down here. I sat in the stand for about an hour and a half. Then I had another deer came through and chased off a couple. I had one that was an 8 or a 10. He came through and chased off a few. And the last one to come through was a pretty good 12 point. And he chased off the last three does after I'd been there for about an hour and a half.
Wow.
And so I finally climbed down out of the stand. I ran out of the woods, you know, and just kind of took a deep breath, and I walked back to my truck. And when I got there, well, of course, my buddy was in his truck and had his son with him. He rolled down the window and said, "What'd you get?" I told him, "Well, I don't know." It's starting to hit me, you know. I'm getting nervous as I'm walking up to his truck, and I started kind of shaking a little bit and losing my breath. And I'm trying to tell him, "Hey, man, it's a pretty good deer, but I had so many deer, you know, on the ground, I didn't want to spook them, so I just got out of the woods." And, well, now he's excited, and I think he kind of thought I was pulling his leg a little bit. So he says, "Well, let's go see him." And I grabbed the camera and jumped in the back of his truck, and we drove up to the trail going to my blind. And I got out my license, started trying to cut the date out and fill out the back of it. Well, I started shaking so bad at that point that I couldn't. And I really had to try to, you know, stop for a minute and catch my breath. And while he and I were talking, his son asked me how far the deer was from where we were standing. And I said, "Oh, he's 40, 50 yards down this trail. And if you just follow this trail, you'll find him. Go in and see if you can find him. Come back and tell me if he's as good as I think he is." He comes back out, and he doesn't have any expression on his face. And the first thing I thought was, oh, no, it had some shrinkage there.
Yeah.
And again, he doesn't have any expression on his face. And I thought, well, how many points does he have? And he said, 24. And I thought, what? He says, "Yeah, that's what I counted, 24. And he's not showing any expression on his face. So I'm thinking, he's pulling my leg. By the time I looked at his dad had dropped everything and he was sprinting. He was running into the woods. He wanted to see it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up chasing him off into the woods trying to get to the deer before he did.
Huh.
And we got in there, and it was just one of those moments that, you know, it's hard to describe, but it took my breath, it took his breath, and it took us a minute to kind of figure out, you know, what exactly happened. And again, I'm looking at this deer. I have never been one to be big on scoring a deer, and I've always felt like, hey, if you think it's a trophy, it's a trophy. So I did have a real concept of how good the deer was.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that was on the lease with me is also a taxidermist, and he was looking at the deer. He looked at it, and he just kept telling me, "I don't think you know what you've done. I don't think you realize what you've done today." And I mean, I could see the emotion on his face. And of course he was more worked up than I was. And I was excited about it.
And this is where the speculation that this might challenge the 2001 state record buck taken out of Grayson County came into play.
Actually, no, not yet.
Oh.
Not yet. I said, "Well, what do you think he'll score?" And he said, "Oh, he'll probably go between 160 and 180. Well, I never figured I'd get a buck that good. I mean, that's a pretty good deer.
Right.
You know, we hadn't seen that deer.
So no one had any trail cam pics or no feeder pics of this deer. This is the first time anyone's seen it.
Yes. The lease became effective August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't set out cameras until August 1st. And we had been out to the place several times since May, and we saw two deer that we were sure were bucks. But at the time, they were still in velvet, and there was very little antler growth when we had seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And we set out cameras 1st of August. I think there's five guys. We had four cameras, and not one of the cameras picked this deer up. and none of the guys hunting on the lease had seen this deer. I hadn't taken a picture of any deer with my camera. I was getting pigs and cows. So this was a surprise, but I keep telling people it was a lot of planning that went into it and a lot of scouting, but you know, on top of all that, it was a lot of luck that came into play for me. I was there at the right time. I was pretty fortunate, and I consider that the hunt of my lifetime. And I really couldn't ask for anything more for just a great hunt.
What was the official score on this deer?
Well, I went back right before Christmas and had it dry scored, and it didn't shrink at all. The green score was 212 and 3/8 gross, 205 and 2/8 net. And after it was all said and done, the dry score was the same.
And that's good enough for fourth place in the state of Texas Pope and Young non-typical record book. Wow.
I think you're correct.
Game Warden Mentor, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show today. I appreciate your dedication in protecting the Lone Star State and all of its resources. Thank you for your service, and congrats again on one heck of a deer.
Thank you, sir, and it's been my pleasure.
When we come back, Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney joins the Lone Star Outdoors Show on 95.3 The Range. Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com. We all know outdoorsmen are rough on their gear, rough on their dogs, and rough on themselves. So whether you fall out of a deer stand or wreck your face during an ATV accident, let Dr. Connie Smith restore your broken teeth. Dr. Connie J. Smith uses only state-of-the-art dental techniques to help you achieve the beautiful smile of your dreams. Call Dr. Smith at 972-239-7551 or email her at business@conniejsmithdds.com. Dr. Smith has been practicing dentistry in Dallas for over 20 years, and her office is conveniently located just south of LBJ at Preston and Forest. Experience state-of-the-art dentistry delivered by a gentle and highly skilled dentist and staff in a warm and caring atmosphere. Dr. Smith specializes in crowns and bridges, porcelain veneers and lumineers, night guards and snoring devices to combat sleep apnea, sedation dentistry, partials dentures, and sapphire and zoom whitening. So for that beautiful smile that will last a lifetime, call Dr. Connie J. Smith at 972-239-7551. That's 972-239-7551.
Whether you are looking for a record book whitetail or an African trophy, Star S Ranch has it all. By combining Texas-style lodging with large breeding herds of African trophy animals, including kudu, sable, and gemsbok, Star S Ranch offers the best of both continents. Visit us at www.star-s-ranch.com. Located in the beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers fallow and axis hunts. That's www.star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt of a lifetime.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my friend Todd Moy over at Revolution Custom Carts. Revolution Custom Carts is a licensed Easy Go and Bad Boy Buggies dealer. So whether you want a custom golf cart, a low-speed street vehicle, or a tricked-out hunting rig, Revolution is the place for you. In addition to offering tax credits, tell Todd you heard this ad and save 10% on any purchase. I've been to the convenient Plano Road location in Dallas, and you should too. Give Todd a call at 214-340-7100 or check out the website at www.revolutioncustomcarts.com.
Hi, this is professional bass angler Kelly Jordan, and if I'm not on the lake or in the deer stand, there's a good chance I'll be listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Welcome back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. I'm Cable Smith. We're going to be doing this every Saturday morning from 8:30 until 9:30. Right now, let me go ahead and introduce my next guest, Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney.
John, I guess it's been about 8 months or so since we last visited. It's good to hear your voice again. How was your waterfowl season up there in North Dakota this year?
You know, Cable was interesting. As we talked about, we had really, really good production here this year. We had great wetland conditions. We had lots of ducks settle here. The indications were pretty good. And I was really, really excited about our duck season. And in the first couple of weeks were great. Had good hunts, saw lots of birds. One of the things that was very visible to me, you know, anecdotally, obviously, but man, did we have pintails throughout this year. And that was borne out in the Fish and Wildlife Service survey. But God, not just me, but guys I talked to also saw lots and lots of pintail. You know, it's pretty uncommon here to see a remarkable amount of pintail. We always have a few around, but there were days we were seeing actually more pintail than mallards, which is pretty remarkable in this part of the world. And but what happened to us, Cable, is the Friday before Columbus Day, which I think Columbus Day was the 16th this year. Heck, I don't know. I should probably know that. Cable, I'm probably failing a history class.
I have to be honest with you. I don't know when it is either, so that's all right.
But that Friday night, we had a very hard freeze, and I was pretty excited. I'd gone out, found a bunch of mallards that were new flight ducks into the area. They were using a marsh. It's my favorite marsh in the world to hunt. And I got there the next morning. It was frozen solid. And, you know, it's not uncommon to have a freeze in October up here, but we had a six-day period there where virtually every small pothole slough was frozen solid, which really wreaked havoc. You know, kicked, you know, the vast majority of the ducks out of here. We had some good hunts late in the year, but wasn't nearly as good as I would have sort of hoped or anticipated.
Now, when you say you had some good hunts late in the year, just for the Texas waterfowler, your late in the year is completely different from ours. We've got 3 weeks left.
Right. Well, our late in the year is, you know, for the functional part of North Dakota's duck season, late in the year here is typically late October, early November.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year, we had a strange year because we had a remarkably cool, downright cold October, and then we had a very mild November, which sort of, I think, had some impact on some of the early season shooting in Texas and down in your part of the world.
Now, for those of us who may not know much about Delta waterfowl, give us a little history about Delta and kind of discuss what your mission statement is.
You know, I guess, Cable, the real simple bullet point version of our mission statement is to secure the future of ducks and duck hunting. And I think that duck hunting element is sort of an important one. And we're an organization that's been around for a long, long time. We trace our roots all the way back to 1911. Delta's historically been known for, Cable, as our waterfowl research program that started back in the late 30s. And Delta's research is really responsible, I think, for a great deal of the understanding we have of ducks today. And, you know, that's where ducks breed, you know, some of the basic breeding ecology. All that work was done at Delta back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. So, you know, historically, Delta's been known as sort of this relatively quiet, especially until recently, research organization that was sort of building that sort of knowledge base and understanding we need to manage waterfowl. It's only been relatively recently, that we've sort of had the sort of traditional conservation organization feel with banquets and membership. And as a result of that, our program mandate has expanded or sort of added on to that core function of research over the last few years.
Once again, this is Delta Waterfowl Senior Vice President John Devney joining us on the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. You can visit Delta online at www.deltawaterfowl.org, or you can click on their partner link on my homepage, which is www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com. John, you may be thousands and thousands of miles away up there in North Dakota, but you're just like us Texas waterfowlers here, and that's that you're part of the Central Flyway. There were numerous changes in our bag limits in the Central Flyway this year. Is that a direct result of the wet spring of last year?
No, not really, Cable. Actually, we've been in the same regulations package, oh God, Cable, going back to 1995.
The Hunter's Choice?
Under adaptive harvest management, we've been under a liberal framework. But over the last 3 years, the Central Flyway has been working on an experiment to understand a new regulations package, which has been referred to as Hunter's Choice. And basically what Hunter's Choice is an effort to try to get away from these seasons within a season for species like pintail and canvasback.
Right.
And in your part of the world, model ducks. Now, model ducks had a major change this year, independent of any of the rest of those sorts of things. But Hunter's Choice has been an experiment that's been run central flyway wide. That experiment has been completed, and right now the central flyway states are doing two things. Number one, looking to see if that achieved the reduced harvest objectives that we had for pintails and canvasbacks. And then number two, and I think this is really important, Cable, is they're asking hunters what they thought of it. And a lot of times decisions on regulations are made based on very complicated mathematical models with frankly little sort of dialogue or input from hunters. And I think the central flyway is to be commended for asking the questions of hunters. This hunter's choice approach, something you like or dislike, and they're cranking through those results right now. It'll be interesting to see what they ultimately find.
From what I've heard from Texas waterfowlers, they did not like the hunter's choice system. This season we have a much more liberal framework. I've heard much better things about that. Now, I don't know if that will continue, because right now we're on a year-to-year basis. Is that correct?
Yeah, it always is. You know, it's certainly one of those deals where in a year like this where populations are high, you know, canvasback populations were high, pintail populations are high. That isn't really the circumstance that the central flyway managers were looking at. I think what they're concerned about is, you know, where we've been, you know, where we've had closed canvasback seasons or a 30-day pintail season in the Pacific Flyway. And what they're trying to avoid is a one-shot violation where the guy that at first light shoots a pintail, mistaking it for something else, you know, that person in the hunter's choice would still be able to be out there hunting.
Right.
Couldn't shoot another pintail or canvasback, but he wouldn't be a one-shot violator. But I agree, the key is, do hunters like it or not? And maybe they like it better if they were faced with one of these closed canvasback seasons like we've had as recently as last year. Or
not in the central flyway, though, just to be clear.
That's right. We didn't have it in the central flyway solely because of the Hunter's Choice experiment.
Right.
Every other flyway in the union was subject to a canvasback closure. So it's one of those deals where it probably doesn't work when populations are high in a year like this where you may be foregoing harvest opportunity, but in a year where a hunter would potentially be in violation if he shot a pintail the 5th of January, maybe it's something that hunters like. So it's going to take some more dialogue with hunters, and it's going to take some more analysis on the statistical population side as well.
What projects have y'all began undertaking already now that your season's closed?
Well, you know, right now we're in the planning session, Cable. It's, you know, there's a million feet of snow. It's colder than hell here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not too much going on right now, but it's really planning. And you know, I think the priorities you've seen at Delta this year are going to be sort of a continuation of the priorities we've had for a number of years. And in our primary emphasis we've talked about in the past is really solving some of the chronic duck production problems we have here on the breeding grounds, because ultimately a duck hunter in Texas is only going to shoot a duck if it hatches out of a nest in North Dakota or Saskatchewan or Manitoba or some other place. And so most of what we're doing at Delta today is trying to solve big duck production challenges. And you know, the work that Delta's done for a lot of years on predator management's ongoing. We're in a constant state of evolution and learning about that tool, where it works, what the challenges are to make it work in some landscapes where it hasn't worked particularly well. That, you know, that's a very high priority for Delta and something we're continuing with.
Now, as the senior vice president of Delta Waterfowl, I'm sure that you have a few perks. Did you get to go on any cool waterfowling trips this year that you can tell us about, you know, so maybe we can live vicariously through your travels?
You know, it isn't nearly as glamorous as you might think, Cable. I'm much more like your average Texas duck hunter than maybe even your average Texas duck hunter is. The vast majority of ducks that I killed this year were on public land in North Dakota.
Wow.
And I don't own or lease a single acre of ground in North Dakota. I chase the ducks just like everybody else in North Dakota. So I think that's good because, I know what the challenges that the average freelance hunter faces. Now, I was blessed to go on a hunt in a place that I've never hunted before this year. I hunted in Alberta for the first time. A very, very dear friend of mine is one of the hosts of a TV show that Orion Multimedia is putting on, called Beretta Waterfowler's Edge, and we've got a great relationship with Beretta and a great relationship with the production company, and they asked me to come up and talk about some of the challenges in Canada and shoot a few greenheads. And so I was lucky enough to go up there and be on that show and shooting ducks in southern Alberta with the first snow of the year happened when we were there in late September. And we had the snow-covered Rockies as a background as we had really, really, really good duck shooting.
Wow, smacking greenheads with nothing but the snow-covered peaks of the Rockies as your background.
So that was probably the neatest trip.
As a waterfowling expert, if you could only take your calls or a jerk string or something to add movement to your spread, which would you take?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on where you hunt and the circumstances. Now, in our part of the world, cable, and this may be sort of heresy against a lot of guys in the South that are really good duck callers, but believe it or not, in this part of the world, the ducks really don't respond to calling until fairly late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really all about location and staying concealed and motion in the decoys. And, you know, I'd say a jerk string cable, but man, there aren't very many days in North Dakota where it's terribly still. So if I could trade the jerk string, I'd definitely choose the jerk string over the duck call here day to day.
John, it's been a pleasure as always, my friend. Once again, John Devney, the Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl. You can check out Delta Waterfowl at www.deltawaterfowl.org. John, let's do it again this spring when the ducks head back north and talk about one of my favorite aspects of Delta Waterfowl, and that is predator control.
Yeah, thanks so much, Cable, and have a great balance of your duck season down there.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friend Matt at Birdworks Taxidermy. Birdworks is a small birds-only taxidermy studio that specializes in custom avian artistry. Matt's passion is taking his clients' birds and turning them into trophy works of art. Specializing in waterfowl, turkey, cranes, and upland game, Birdworks is conveniently located in Fort Worth and has been serving DFW for over a decade. Visit Birdworks at www.birdworkstaxidermy.com or give Matt a call at 817-691-2625.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they will never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You're guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip is free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give Brian a call at 903-815-1609. That's www.stripersinc.com to set up your next fishing trip.
Hi, I'm Shane Mahoney. Please join me January 7 to 10 for First Light, Dallas Safari Club's 2010 Convention and Sporting Expo. With our move to the Dallas Convention Center, First Light will be our biggest show ever. I look forward to seeing you at First Light.
Brought to you by Midway USA, Trigicon, Beretta USA, RBC Wealth Management, Sovereign Bank, Nikon, She Safari, Ducks Unlimited, and Appalachian Antique Hardwoods.
Cable Smith here, and I want to tell you about my friends and fellow outdoorsmen at No Fences Land Company. No Fences Land Company is a recreational real estate firm that focuses on listing and selling fine ranch properties for hunting and fishing. Their affiliation with Cabela's Trophy Properties gives them a marketing advantage to offer today's buyers and sellers the finest ranch real estate services available. If you have a property you're looking to buy or sell, please contact No Fences Land Company at 800-866-LAND or visit them on the web at nofencesland.com.
Rick's Outpost is the place for the outdoorsman. Rick's offers USDA-approved taxidermy on large and small game, as well as fish. As the official wild game processor of the Lone Star Outdoor Show, Rick's guarantees you'll get your own meat back and in a timely manner. Serving the Frisco, North Dallas area for over 20 years, Rick's offers a custom welding shop, hunting blinds, and game feeders. Rick will also help you book your trophy hunt. Located on Highway 380 in Aubrey, call 972-346-2825 or visit us at www.ricksoutpost.com.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Don't forget you can check out the podcast of each show the following Monday morning after the original Saturday broadcast. The podcast is available at my website, which is www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com. This segment is proudly brought to you by Bad Boy Buggies of Dallas and my friend Todd Moy over at Revolution Custom Carts. They're conveniently located on Plano Road in Dallas. Give Todd a call at 214-340-7100 or visit him at www.revolutioncustomcarts.com. And now it is my pleasure to introduce our next guest, Mr. Ben Carter, the president of the Dallas Safari Club.
How are you doing this morning, Ben?
Pretty good, Cable. How are you doing?
Fabulous.
Great.
Today is a huge day as the Dallas Safari Club's convention, First Light, continues at the Dallas Convention Center. We're going to talk extensively about First Light. But, Ben, I want to discuss the Dallas Safari Club. A lot of people have a predetermined opinion that the Dallas Safari Club is an elitist organization made up of individuals who can afford to travel to Africa and to hunt the continent's big game trophies. Please elaborate on this common misconception of the Dallas Safari Club and tell us a little bit about your mission statement.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. You're right. A lot of people do get the idea that everyone that's in the club is just strictly concerned with safari hunting and going to Africa. But we're an organization that's an independent, autonomous organization, started in 1982 in the Dallas area. Our original group probably had about 150 members, and today we're at just over 4,000 members. Out of those 4,000 members, probably a pretty small percentage actually wind up going to Africa. Most of the people that join our organization join it because we really kind of walk the walk and talk the talk. We support our mission statement. Our mission statement is conservation, education, and advocacy for hunters' rights. And over the last 4 years, we have given over $1.6 million in grants to support these different parts of our mission statement, whether it be supporting sheep relocation projects or sheep surveys by helicopter out in West Texas in conjunction with the Texas Bighorn Society, or whether it's funding for poaching control over in Tanzania. We have a wide variety of conservation issues that we support. We have a lobbyist full-time in Washington that is there watching to see what is going on to make sure that our rights as hunters and outdoorsmen are protected in Congress. And then we've got a very successful, unique, really education program that we started 10 years ago called Outdoor Adventures that's now in over 60 secondary schools in the state of Texas. It is an outdoor education class that kids can take as a curriculum class that they'll get a grade in, and that's for an entire semester. And we've got those, again, in 60 schools. We will have impacted over 35,000 kids with that program since we started it.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm extremely passionate about preserving hunters' rights, and you mentioned that's one thing that y'all are extremely dedicated to. Can you just go into a little bit more detail about some of the other things that y'all have going on as far as preserving those rights that we all hold so sacred?
Well, we also work with a partner of ours is Conservation Force, and we support them in a strong way. We were very involved with the polar bear issue. That's still ongoing, trying to, they uplisted polar bear to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife uplisted polar bear to endangered, even though the rest of the world did not see it that way. There were a number of hunters that had about 60 hunters that had taken polar bears in the Arctic up in Canada legally at the time that they were taken. And then when they came down with that ruling, they all of a sudden said no more immediate cease and desist of importation of polar bears. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of people that, in fact, there was one of our members that was a life member that was actually serving in the military in Afghanistan and Iraq. He had saved for years to go on a polar bear hunt. That was his dream, to go on a polar bear hunt. He went on the hunt, was successful, and then he got caught before the polar bear came back into the States. That's when they changed the rules. And so he didn't get his polar bear. And he actually went up to Congress by an effort led by the Dallas Safari Club as well as the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, testified in front of a congressional committee on the fact that he had served his country, he'd done his time, he'd paid for this polar bear by saving and scrimping, which was equivalent to a year's salary for being in the military. Mm-hmm. And why wasn't he going to get his polar bear back? And so we're hopeful that all these guys will get their polar bears back. And that may seem like a small thing, but that's just an example of all the many types of things that are going on that are impacting hunters and outdoorsmen. And you have to be vigilant at all times. There's people out there that are always trying to take away the opportunities that we all care about.
Well, let's hope that that story does indeed have a happy ending. Let's shift gears a little bit now that we have a better understanding of the Dallas Safari Club, and let's talk about this week's truly global event, First Light. Tell me what exactly First Light is and discuss some of the highlights.
Okay. Well, the each year we have an annual convention. I've been doing this since 1982. And when the first one started, was out at the Amfac Hotel at DFW, when the airport, right after it was first built, it was down in the basement of the Amfac. We probably had 75, maybe 100 exhibitors at it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people here in Dallas that remember going to that. It has grown to now this year, we're here at the Dallas Convention Center. We have about 1,100 exhibits at the show. Day traffic will be at about 25,000 people. These outfitters and exhibitors are from all over the world. It truly is a global convention. There's outfitters from every part of Africa, Asia, Europe, Canada, the United States, Mexico, most of South America, Australia, New Zealand. Not only do you have outfitters that do hunts of all different types, but you've got fishing guides that fish in all these different areas. Some of the finest gun makers in the world, the absolute best wildlife artists in the world, just anything you can think of for the discriminating sportsman is at this show. You've got, we've also got for Texas, we've got a lot of local Texas exhibitors that offer quail hunts, whitetail hunts, a wide variety of things and then we also have a fabulous wildlife display. So I mean, there's really something for everyone. And it's not too late for people to come on down there today and get a look at all this.
What's your favorite part of First Light?
It's an opportunity to get together with a lot of people that are all fairly like-minded, that care about the outdoors, care about wildlife, and a chance to talk to them, hear hunting stories, and really look at some interesting hunts. You know, one of the fun things that we have is, you know, we have evening banquets each night, and that is really that's one of the main sources of our revenue, is the proceeds that we get from the auctions. And this year we've got just fabulous auctions, people.
A lot of the proceeds raised at First Light go directly back into conservationism, which is a key factor in y'all's mission statement. Talk about this aspect of this weekend's festivities.
This is the main source of funding for the club, for our activities, and we're an active club too, by the way. I mean, we have monthly meetings once a month. To join as a member, it's $100 for a sponsor membership. We have a number of member activities as well, where we'll have a fun sporting clay shoot. We may do a wine pairing at a nice restaurant, things like that. But the proceeds from the auctions and from the convention directly fund our mission statement. And what we do is we have grants committee meetings probably twice a year, once before the convention, where we'll fund our grants budget for requests that we've gotten. And then if we have a successful convention, we'll make additional grants. And our members feel really proud of the things that we've helped do from the conservation, the education, and the advocacy standpoint because of that.
It's been a real pleasure visiting with you this morning. Thanks so much for joining the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Everyone, head on over to the Dallas Convention Center and check out the celebration that's going on there. First Light continues today and tomorrow. Also, remember to check out the Dallas Safari Club at www.biggame.org. Ben, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Cable. Thank you. Appreciate it. And see you down there.
All right. Take care.
Well, I am sad to say that we are out of time this morning. Hope you enjoyed our first broadcast of the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. Next week, be sure to tune in. Once again at 8:30, professional bass angler Kelly Jordan will join us. And also, what's cooler than taking wounded veterans, our country's finest, out on a guided hunt? Well, Billy Hodges of Hunts for Heroes does that full-time, and he'll also be joining the program. For the most up-to-date list of upcoming shows and guests, visit my website at www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com. You can also find your Texas country music concert calendar right there on the homepage. Y'all have a great week in the outdoors. This is Cable Smith saying thanks for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoor Show on KHYI 95.3 The Range.
I said now September come to Texas, just one time every year. So we get our guns and our pickup trucks and a bunch of that Lone Star beer.